It's Tuesday the 2nd of August, and we're almost a week into the Olympics, and I'm currently sitting on a boat with my mum, heading up the Thames from Windsor's Esplanade, or Promenade, or something, up towards Windsor Racecourse for the entrance to Eton Dorney to go and see the rowing this morning. The day started off rather black and ominous in Richmond. By the time we've got here, it's blue sky, sunshine, looks absolutely gorgeous. The river is absolutely resplendent, and it just looks wonderful. Looking forward to a nice day of that. I think this boat takes 10 minutes or something, and then we walk in from the race course. Standing somewhere a bit quieter now, at Eton Dorney, next to the queue for the water, which everybody needs because they've had to come in with empty bottles. And it's rather nicely placed next to a couple of trees in a big patch of grass. In the background you can hear announcements, rather amusingly, saying, welcome to Eton Dorney, we've got rowing on here today. Oh, really? I would never have believed it. Here we go. It's all rather civilised. To get here, you walk across a race course, and as I said, we took a boat. It's really nice. Wish other venues were like this. So we'll have a little wander and then go and find our seats and stand too.
And then the women's eight, well, this has been totally dominated by...
Well, I must say, our seats are pretty good. Very front of the front row on one of the blocks in Stand 2, the main public stand, looking out across the lake. I don't know quite how far from the finish, but not too far. Best of all, though I can't see it, Mum obviously can, there's a big screen directly across the lake opposite us.
5 minutes.
Brazil.
Thailand.
Okay, so we're about to have the first race of the day, which is the CD semi-final. Is it semi-final? Yep.
So 9:30 on the dot, and the first race of the day is underway. It's a C semi-final, so ultimately they are contesting places 13 onwards in the women's single sculls category. Robert Trahan-Jones hopefully has made his way up from the boathouse in his little car and is driving alongside, pootling along, with plenty to tell you about. Hello, Robert, are you there?
I am indeed, Dave. Yes, welcome everybody to this day of racing. We open with the CD semi-finals of the women's singles girls. Let me correct one thing. I'm not driving and commentating at the same time. That would be entirely unsafe here on the Eton Dorney course. I've been relying all week on my fine driver, Dave, to put me in the right place at the right time to provide some stroke-by-stroke commentary in combination with Paul and Robin, his driver. But for the first race of the day, we're already at 250 metres and a good, strong start.
Can you see any boats?
No, nope, for real.
I've
had a look.
Okay.
He's gone half a length ahead of the Argentinian sculler, Lucia Palermo.
So what can you see on the screen?
Yeah, position, I can see it all.
Well, okay.
Brilliant.
Is it quite clear?
Very clear. Like massive television.
Okay, and is it looking down the course or across it? Or?
We've got... They're coming... The camera's behind the boat.
Okay.
Futaraxi Nigri Rotenberg, and trailing the field, Solmaz Abbasiazad from Iran.
Well, I'll pause recording till they get a bit closer.
All these six scholars progressed to this CD semi-final by virtue of their performance in the quarterfinals, but in a qualifying performance on her home.
Okay, apparently the boats are starting to come into view now. They've been going for... How long? Does it say how long they've been going for?
When countries from the Latin American continent...
5 minutes 20, okay.
...have the chance to qualify men and women's single sculls and lightweight men's and double sculls. Palermo was the successful women's single sculler and still sitting in a qualifying slot here ahead of the Mexican. Now, this is a reversal of fortune because the last time these two scholars went head-to-head was in that Latin American qualification regatta when Oakley Gonzalez finished in third, one place up on the Argentinian. Now, can the Argentinian hang on here with just over 500 metres remaining? And the Brazilian has come back into the picture. Kessia da Costa, who we saw at the Lucerne and Munich rounds of the World Cup, where she made her debut on the International World Cup season.
Can you see them clearly now?
We've got three Latin American scholars now in a very close battle for that vital third place to move through to the semi-final. Way, way out at the head of the field, 350 metres to go for Zani Babukore, born in Latvia but proud to be an Irish scholar now, a naturalised Irish citizen for the last many years. And really looking so, so strong. She's been able to take the rate down ahead of the competitors because she's got several lengths of clear water ahead of Rodenberg for Thailand. A lightweight scholar racing against open weight opposition. As many of you already know, lightweight single scull is not an Olympic boat class, so they're racing against heavyweight opposition. And Kitia da Costa of Brazil has come storming through in the last 100 metres. First she took on the Mexican, now she's taking on the Argentinian. Kitia da Costa, one length clear inside the last 250 metres. Well, what a fantastic performance from the relatively inexperienced...
Yeah, José!
So
José!
...biding her time, sat on the shoulder of the other two scullers. 31 strokes a minute, closing hard on the stern end of the Thai sculler in lane 6. Inside the last 100 metres, at least as far as Pushpade is concerned, she's pushing away with several lengths of clear water. And I do believe that Brazilian is going to go on so hard, she's going to try and overtake Rodenberg for second position. But she's at least 3 lengths clear of the Palermo of Argentina, who looked as though she was going to take a C-final place then, but has been dominated by the Brazilian in the closing stages. Sani Tapushpane crosses the line, first place to qualify for the C place for Ireland. She'll be joined there by Kessia da Costa of Brazil and Furtwängler Rodenberg of the A final on Saturday.
Okay, we're now on to the falls with the semi-final for groups A and B, and included within this we have Great Britain. Apparently the final's on Saturday.
As we move down with about 650 metres remaining, and behind the Dutch there's a real...
Prepare for a very big cheer.
I've just seen the Belarusians power up the rate. Now, can they do anything special on this clear lead that the... Dutch have in third position? Let's get a rate on the Belarusians. They really have jacked up the rate to 40 strokes a minute now. Is that making any difference to the clear lead from the Netherlands in lane 2? No, it's not. There's 3/4 of, maybe 2/3 of the length. Now they're really winding up the rate. Oh, the Belarusians are really going for it. They suddenly realise they're going to be squeezed out of the A final. Belarus at 40 strokes a minute and closing hard. Are we going to see any response from the Dutch? The Dutch have now squeezed up the rate. They've had to glance over 3 lanes to their left to see this challenge develop from the Belarusians. And GB trying to close on the Australian lead now. They're approaching the top end of the grandstand. What can the crowds do to lift Great Britain here as we come down with less than a third of a length in it? Dimitri Todd in the strike seat. Tom James, Pete Reeve, Alex Gregory responding. GB on 39. Here come Italy on lane 6, but surely nothing is going to take away the third place. But Great Britain are really pushing it out. Great Britain can haul in through and draw almost level with Australia. 40 strokes a minute from Great Britain. The Australians also in 40, and it's neck and neck all the way down the line. And Great Britain have pushed out a canvas clear, roared on by the whole crowd in the last 2 strokes of this semi-final. Great Britain wins the semi-final and qualify for the A-final. Reverse the decision in Munich. Australia's second, Netherlands just ahead of the third. Italy 10-4.
Very good.
yourself?
Sorry?
More than jolly good.
Jolly good?
Excellent.
Excellent, yes, okay, excellent.
Wow. What a race and what a finish. And tremendous commentary as well from Robert Trahan-Jones. Great Britain coming through in first place at the time,
58.26.
That time is irrelevant. And that is that they achieved 4.5 for the final, along with Australia in second, 0.97 of a second behind Great Britain. Water as soon as they're into the water and accelerating in the opposite direction.
There's another semi-final race underway now. I think it's the women's light sculls, I think. All the way down the line. But I just thought I'd mention that finally I found an audio description device that works. Those who've been listening to my audiobooks will know that I've been somewhat frustrated that at the opening ceremony, at the boxing and at the volleyball, the audio description hasn't worked at all. Finally have a device that works, but unfortunately it only relays what's already being talked about on the commentary. And the commentary isn't always actually giving me a huge amount in terms of sort of visual side. So say for instance, for the first sort of 1,000 meters or so, they quite often talk about the back history or whatever of the athletes, rather than talking about the actual progress of the race. I'll just demonstrate that I've got the device here, and you'll hear that it's the same commentary.
See the puddles coming down from the Danish crew in front of them, just one lane to their left. That's the crew they're most in touch with visually, and of course
there you go, so that's what I'm hearing through the audio description device. Nothing particularly useful here. Perhaps I'll have better luck with the track cycling on Sunday or the sailing, but I'm not holding my breath now. The other slightly funny thing on an accessibility point of view here is that they were delighted to tell me that they had a spending area for vans, for the guide dogs, and eventually when somebody was able to find it, because nobody actually knew where it was, it was discovered to be literally a 6-foot area next to some bins, not large enough to spend a large German Shepherd like vans. So nice that they tried, shame they didn't speak to anybody about it. On lightweight rowing. Anyway, no idea if you can hear me above the commentary, so I'll shut up for a bit.
Stroke for stroke, the Chinese lost it a little bit there, a slight moment of fading concentration, and you can have some problems with the timing. We've had some even more serious problems with crab catching this week as well. Chambers, Rob Williams, Richard Chambers and Chris Bartley.
So this is the final in the lightweight fours, and we have Great Britain in here.
Second place Australians. Now the Danes are really squeezing it, reaching over at front stops, driving the race through, trying to maintain that lead. They went off so hard, so quickly. Was that the high-risk strategy? Did it work? Because Australia are catching up, still in second position, not far behind Great Britain in the bronze medal slot. South Africa already in the mix for medals. They're 3/4 of a length up on Switzerland, who had trouble maintaining that pace. Well, it's life on the edge for these lightweight athletes. It's probably the most important moment. Dietary intake right the way through the year. Some of them described as what kind of work they actually have to take from these guys. Just enough instability to maintain 2,000 meters.
sensational finish, and as you can see from the celebrations on the lake, the gold medal has gone to South Africa. What an amazing finish from them. Republic of South Africa get gold. Silver goes to Great Britain. South Africa, silver Great Britain. Bronze to Denmark, absolutely nothing in it. 0.25 of a second between first and second, 0.32 of a second down to third place. Absolutely sensational finish. Those results to be confirmed, but Republic of South Africa in first, Great Britain in second, and Denmark third.